last week, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. We talked about the resurrection and how the resurrection indeed is the foundation of the Christian faith. The reason we have Christianity today is because of the resurrection. If Christ Jesus had not risen from the dead, you and I would not be talking about it today. If Christ Jesus had not risen from the dead, our preaching, our faith is useless because there's no hope. Bless you. Hope is because of the resurrection. That's why we have that hope. But we also talked about last week, if you remember, that the disciples, they did not expect the resurrection. The apostles, they just were fearful. They were coward. They were hiding. And Jesus had to begin to appear to the apostles. And it was because they saw the risen Christ that the sadness turned into joy. And the fear turned into bravery. That's what happened. They saw the risen Lord. Jesus began to appear to them to give them evidence that he was truly alive. And they saw him. Remember, he even ate with the apostle. He said, "You got anything to eat?" See, they thought they saw a ghost. They said, "See, I got flesh and bones." And you know ghosts don't have flesh and bones. Jesus ate with them to give them evidence that he was truly alive. We talked about that last week. Remember, we also this one of the apostles. You see, John tells us, the Gospel of John, towards the end, he tells us that the evening of the same day when Jesus resurrected, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the apostles when they saw Jesus. So we have at least 10 apostles, because Judas was already dead. Thomas is not there, so at least 10 of the apostles were hiding behind locked doors. Thomas was not there. You know, sometimes, most of us can relate to Thomas, and Thomas is known by a lot of people as Doubting Thomas. That's what people call him, because, you know, he doubted Jesus. He doubted that he was alive. But you see, we should not be that hard on Thomas, because you and I doubt God all the time. And doubt is not something new. Doubt comes all the way from the Garden of Eden. The first humanity doubted God. What did they doubt? God said, "Do not eat of that tree that is in the middle of the garden. When you eat of that tree, you will die." Satan comes and says, "No, God's really lying to you." So now they're doubting the Creator. They're doubting God's provision. They're doubting God's command. And we do it all the time. Sometimes we doubt God's going to take care of our problems. And we pray, and James says, sometimes we don't even receive because we are praying with doubts. So doubt is not something new. Webster defines doubt as to be uncertain about something, to believe that something may not come true, or it is unlikely. So Thomas doubted that Jesus was alive. He was uncertain that he was really walking around like all the apostles told him. He did not believe. Doubt is also when you have no confidence in somebody or someone. When you say to somebody, "Well, I really doubt that you could make that shot. I really doubt that you can hit a home run. You get the chance to go at Yankee Stadium and somebody gives you a bat. I doubt." I mean, you're doubting that person's capability. You're doubting that person's ability to do it. He doubted that Jesus was really walking around. The apostles say that the evening, "We have seen the Lord." It's like, give me a break. "No, you guys are playing with me." That's my paraphrase. It's almost Thomas like, "Nah, no." He wanted tangible evidence. He wanted some, you know, like some of us, like, "Unless I see that, I mean, you got to show me for me to believe that. I got to see Jesus. I mean, I know the nails they put in there. No. You're playing with me. Unless I see that, and not just seeing, I have to touch it." I mean, you know, you got to be careful when you say things like that. Thomas just didn't want to see. He wanted to get his finger into the side. You remember when Jesus, when he was crucified, the Roman had they wanted, if you did not die, they will break your bones to speed your process of death. They were going to break Jesus' bones, but there was a prophecy that said that his bones would not be broken. So when they come to check out on Jesus, the Roman soldiers say, "Oh, he's already dead." And one of the other soldiers said, "Check him out." So they pierced him on the side, and there came blood and water. So Thomas says, "Unless I get my finger into where he got pierced, I will not believe." I would say, be careful what you ask for. See, like I said, we know about Thomas. Now, this is not the first time we hear about Thomas. There was one time in John, according to the Gospel of John, Remember, he was one of the 12. Thomas walked with Jesus for about 3 years. Mind you, he saw Jesus do miracles. He saw Jesus do the supernatural. Thomas saw Jesus walk on water. Now, he saw Jesus walk on water, but you don't believe that he's alive. He saw Jesus resurrect Lazarus. He was there. Lazarus was there for 4 days. Jesus comes to town and says, "Lazarus, come out." And here comes Lazarus. Thomas was there. He saw that. He witnessed it. Thomas saw, he heard Jesus teaching, and he saw Jesus resurrect Jairus' daughter. He was there too. You see, one time, going back to John 11, they're going to Bethany, where Lazarus lived. And we hear that Thomas says to all the apostles, because Jesus said, you know, we got to go back to Bethany. And some of them say, "Hey, Lord, remember, last time you went there, they wanted to kill you. They wanted to stone you." So Thomas says, "Okay, let us also go with him so that we may die with him." So Thomas understood that for us to go back to Bethany where they hated Jesus, we're all going to die. So, okay, let us go with him so that we can die with him. That's the first time you hear about Thomas speaking up in the Bible. In John chapter 11, verse 16. The other time Louis used that text today, in chapter 14, Jesus is preparing the apostles because he said, "I'm going to go, but if I go, I'm going to come back for you. I'm going to go and prepare a place." He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me, trust also in God. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place, but if I go and prepare that place, I will come back." And then Jesus said, "You know the way." Then Thomas speaks up and says, "We don't know the way. If we don't know the way, how do we even know where you're going, Lord?" He said it in John 14:5. "We don't know the way. How can we know where you're going?" And then Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then the next time you hear about Thomas is the text for today. So remember, we're talking about Jesus began to appear to his disciples. And he appeared to them, but Thomas was not with them, according to what John tells us. So you got your Bibles with you. John chapter 20. Verse 24 through following. John is also this John we're talking about. He's the writer of Revelation. And he's the disciple that the Bible calls him the beloved disciple of Jesus. That does not mean that Jesus didn't love the other ones. But Jesus had a special connection with John. When Jesus died, he gave John the care of his mother. So he told John, "John, there's your mom, mother, there's your son." John took care of Jesus' mom, Mary. And now he's writing this book, and then he says, chapter 20, verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin, or Didymus, according to the NIV, one of the 12, was now with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.' A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop being unbelieving and believe.' Thomas said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus told him, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.' Then John said, 'Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by believing in him, you may have life.'" That's John tells us the purpose in writing that book. So Thomas is right there. The apostles, the text says that a week later. To me it's interesting because the other apostles already, it's been a week since Jesus appeared and they're still like hiding. You notice that it says that the doors were locked? I mean, if he's alive, I mean, what are you doing, man? They were still hiding behind locked doors. It says that Jesus came a week later, according to what John is talking about. So the evening of that day, Thomas, one of the 12, the disciples of Jesus said to him, We have seen the Lord, but he said, unless I see the nails. That was the evening of the same Resurrection Sunday. And then apparently a week went by and Thomas did not even research. He just, okay, I just don't believe. There are people like that. You say, there's research out there. You can search it. They just refuse to believe. Thomas has just, I think about Thomas, he has a trusting problem. Because, you know, he doesn't believe his best friends. Now, I understand you and I have people that we have a tough time believing what comes out of their mouths sometimes. But we also have some people that whatever they tell us, we don't even doubt. We believe because who they are, don't we? There are people that you trust whatever it is they say. They saw something, you take it at face value because you believe in them. These men have been hanging out, mind you, 3 years. They went through a lot together with Thomas, and they said to him, all of them, at least 10 of them said, we have seen the Lord. He's alive. They said, no, I don't believe that. I will not believe your testimony. You know, testimony is very important because you can free somebody from prison or you can send somebody to prison based on a testimony. They said, we have seen the Lord. He said, no, unless I got to see more than what you guys are telling me. Mm-mm. I remember the nail marks. I mean, he got crucified. I got to see the marks, and I got to touch him, and then I will believe. And you see, verse 26, a week later, to me it's like, Thomas, really? Why don't you even bother investigating what they said? You just want to go home. I'm not going to believe because, no, I got to see it, but maybe he sent something miraculously. He can appear, and then I will believe. There are a lot of people, I'm telling you, in our society, they say they don't believe anything, and they're not even willing to disprove. I mean, if they say that they see the Lord, maybe, okay, I'm going to prove you that you guys are lying to me. I'm going to prove. No, he just went home not believing Jesus. He has some trust issues. He did not even want to disprove what his friends are telling him. Then a week later, it says that Jesus appeared, and now Thomas is right there. Look at verse 26. A week later, the disciples, other version will say 8 days later, the disciples were again together, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. That's what, I don't know, as a preacher, I just don't get it. They already seen Jesus for a week, and they're still locking the doors. I mean, a week went by when the women told us that he's alive and we seen him. We told Thomas and we're still hiding. I mean, is it just me getting down? I mean, do you notice that? Like, what are we doing? Remember, we talked about that the disciples could not have made the resurrection because they did not expect it. And that's what they're doing. Someone's like, okay, let's see what else Jesus is going to tell us. Like a week later, the Savior of the world is risen and you're still hiding behind doors. I don't know, maybe I'm making too much of it, but I mean, think about it. It should be a joyous occasion, and what we're doing, we're just gonna keep it low. You know, it's just a week later, Thomas is there, they're still coming together in the house with locked doors, and that Jesus appeared to them, even though the doors were locked, and he did not knock, by the way, he appeared to them, and he said, peace be with you. And then he singled out Thomas. I love this part because he said, hey, Thomas, come here, man. Do you want evidence? Here I am. If I guarantee you, Thomas probably said, like, who of you told Jesus that I said that? You guys cannot even kid me. I mean, I was just playing. Oh, be careful what you ask for. It's like, I mean, again, a week went by. That's what you said. Jesus was not around when you said it. Thomas probably thought, like, you guys told Jesus. Hey, Thomas. Peace be with you. Come here. You see the marks? Come check it out. Oh, you see the side? Come get your fingers in here and touch it. And stop doubting and believe, he said to Thomas. He said, stop being unbelieving and believe. And then here's the greatest confession that you can find in the Bible for somebody, for a skeptic. You see, Peter said to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Thomas, after he saw Jesus, the resurrected Christ, he says, my Lord and my God. Thomas finally understood that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the Messiah. And not just the Lord. He's God in the flesh. You see, a lot of religious groups will tell you that Jesus Christ was just a prophet. He wasn't really God. If Jesus wasn't God, he would have corrected Thomas right here. He said, okay, I know you're excited to see me, Thomas, but yeah, don't call me God. I mean, just Lord would be sufficient. My Lord and my God, he said. He claimed Jesus Christ to be Lord and God. But that's what the prophecy also said. Wasn't he the Emmanuel, God with us? And to the same Philip and Thomas, he said in chapter 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Finally, Thomas gets it because he saw the risen Christ. And then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You see, you and I today in 21st century, you and I are blessed by God because we have not walked with Jesus. We have not seen Jesus, yet we believe in him. Because we believe the testimony of those who walked with Jesus. They wrote down what they saw, like for instance, John. And we believe without having seen him. Jesus said that you and I are blessed. Blessed are those who without seeing, they have believed. Now, the question that I have is very simple. What evidence are you still demanding from God? What evidence are you still wanting from God, like to prove, so that he can prove to you that he's really God? What are you still doubting of him? Because, you know, God is big enough to take your doubts and your insecurities, whatever it is that you're doubting, he's big enough to take him, bring him to him. Like Thomas. Thomas is like, unless, okay, you want to prove? I'm here. So whatever it is right now where you are and you walk with the Lord that you're doubting, because we all go through doubts and insecurities in this life. The guy you serve is big enough. He can handle it. Bring him to him. Because he's saying to you the same thing he said to Thomas. Stop on believing and trust me. Believe in me. He welcomes your doubts, your insecurities, whatever it is you have that's keeping you from truly believing in him as God. He said, bring him to me. I love how John, in a sense, the gospel writer closes the book. He says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are now recorded in this book. John is telling you and I, there were so many other things that Jesus did that I decided not to include in my volume in the gospel. That's why sometimes critics like to attack the gospel writer saying, well, some of the stories don't match. Of course they will not match because John is writing to Greeks, Matthew's writing to Jewish. When you write, if you're talking to fishermen, don't tell them about farming. They had no idea. Talk about fishermen. Fishing, that's what they understand. So John is writing to that audience, and he says, Jesus did many other things. I know he did, but I decided not to include him in this gospel. But the ones that I chose to include, I did it so that you may believe. Now, you see the purpose in his writing? So that whoever reads the gospel, he says, when you read my volume, the gospel of John, it's so that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing in him, you may have life. That's the testimony of somebody who walked with Jesus. In fact, he was the one that outlived the other apostles. When all the other apostles were dead, John, this writer, was exiled in an island in the Mediterranean called Patmos, and he wrote Revelation from there. Because Jesus said, you're going to outlive all the other apostles, and he did. And he had a disciple called Polycarp. And then Polycarp had another disciple later on. And then you got like for first century, and they had the writing of the apostle, the testimony of John telling him, I'm writing you this story of Thomas. I'm telling you about when Jesus appeared to Thomas. I'm telling you about the Samaritan woman. I'm telling you about the sins in my book so you have no doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that by you believing in Christ, you may have life. Life is only found in Christ. That's why John does not even tell you about how Jesus was born. You notice that? He goes all the way from the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. All things were created by him and for him. And then later on in 1:14, he says, and the Logos, the Word, became flesh, became incarnate, and he made his dwelling among us, and we have seen the glory, the one that came from the Father, full of grace and mercy, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that John is telling people all the love of God, so that when you read the gospel, you know for certainty, you do not doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the apostles, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe. And by believing, you may have life. So Jesus said, stop doubting and believe. You see, there's the testimony of one of the apostles of Jesus. And it wasn't just John. Matthew wrote. Luke wrote. I mean, Luke tells us that Jesus began to appear to the apostles for a period of 40 days to show, I mean, just in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3, after his suffering, this is Luke's testimony. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. For 40 days, Jesus is appearing to his disciples to show them that he was truly alive. For a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave him this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but stay and wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us how many times Jesus began appearing before he went back to the Father. So the testimony, I mean, do we believe the testimony of the disciples of Jesus, the apostles? They wrote what we have in the New Testament today. Like I say, what other evidence are you demanding from the Lord? You see, you and I need to understand there's so much power in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ still continued to change skeptics into missionaries, atheists into theologians. That's what he does. That's what Jesus Christ continued to change people. I mean, I have a list of people, and even in 21st century, that they did not used to believe in God, and they decided, not like Thomas, they decided, you know what, I'm going to go and disprove Christianity. I'm going to show people that whatever you believe in is not true. And through their research, they found Jesus, because there's really power in the name of Jesus. You see, Thomas said, I don't believe, and he went home, not doing anything. If you say you don't believe, why don't you believe? I mean, there's evidence out there, and Jesus, like I said, he's big enough to welcome your doubts and insecurities. Bring him to him. You see, there's a man named Josh McDowell, and he wrote a book entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict. This man did not used to believe in God, even though he was raised in the church. I mean, he has a beautiful story, but he's one of the greatest apologists that we have in the Christian faith today. Josh McDowell, he talks about, you know, defending the faith, a faith that he used to attack and say, that's just a whole bunch of baloney out there. That's not true. Until he decided, you know, I'm going to do my own research. And he has that book. That book is that thick. But he tells you all about the resurrection. He tells you all about why you and I need to believe in God. Because he went through the research himself. And he said this. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be happy. He said, I wanted my life to have meaning. I became hounded by three basic questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Finally, I could come to only one conclusion. If I were to remain intellectually honest, I had to admit that the Old and New Testament documents were some of the most reliable writings in all antiquity. And if they were reliable, what about this man Jesus, whom I had dismissed as a mere carpenter? That's why he believed Jesus was a carpenter. Then he said, I had to admit that Jesus Christ was more than a carpenter. He was all that he claimed to be. Not only did my research turn me around intellectually, but it also answered the three questions that started me on my quest for happiness and meaning. Here's the testimony of a skeptic. When Thomas was 2,000 years ago, this guy's fresh. It's in our time. Didn't believe it, and he was just researching. He can tell you all about documents of antiquity. He can tell you about the Iliad and Aristotle, all the documents, the manuscripts that people have about the history that we know of the Greeks and Romans. He can tell you all about manuscripts about the New Testament, that how reliable they are, and that's why he believed that Jesus is the Christ. Evidence is out there. Too bad Michael Greensang is not here today. There's evidence right there. That's Lee Strobel, Ravi Zachariah, Norman Geisler. I mean, it's interesting. Norman was Rabbi Zechariah was the student of Geisler. That's why they're so intellectual. When you hear them talk and how they can defend the faith. But they did not used to be like that. They used to be skeptics. Like, no, and it's because they said, you know, I'm going to disprove that whatever those people believe in, it doesn't make sense. And then as they were researching, they found Jesus, because he's still changing skeptics into believing. He's still changing persecutors into missionary, like the Apostle Paul. Remember, he can tell us a lot about somebody who didn't believe in Jesus. Lee Strobel has, I think I included that in the next, he was doing his own research, and he was consulting, you know, psychologists, and he said, I went to a psychologist friend and said, if 500 people claim to see Jesus after he died, it was just hallucination. He said, this is what the psychologist said, hallucinations are an individual event. If 500 people have the same hallucination, that's a bigger miracle than the resurrection then. Because he was researching, a lot of people would say, oh no, the disciples did not really see Jesus. They were hungry and they saw hallucinations. The guy said, well, if 500 people have it, that's a bigger miracle then. Because he appears to more than 500 people. How is it that you have the same dream? So that psychologist that said that about when he was doing his research about did Jesus really rise from the dead? I thought it was the apostles stole the body. I mean, really? People were hallucinating. That is, that's the testimony. And now that man writes books entitled The Case for Christ, The Case for the Resurrection, The Case for Jesus. He lives in Chicago, and he was a editor for the Chicago Tribune. And he's using all his power, all his expertise to prove. See, his wife was the one that was Christian when he tells the story. And, you know, he said, sometime my wife just in the bedroom praying. I was like, oh, please, what, praying to what? He said, you know, I'm gonna show my wife, he said, that what she believes just doesn't even make sense. But he began just doing his research, and the wife just praying for him that he can come to know Jesus. And eventually he went to church with her. And through all the research, the expertise that he had, he found the risen Christ. Blessed are those that even though they did not walk with Jesus and saw him, they believe Jesus because there are research out there from the writers of the apostles. And they themselves do the research and they realize, yes, there's no doubt Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is God. And Peter says salvation is found in no one else. There's the confession of a skeptic. And there's just a few that I wanted to show you. There's so many others. Now, you read the biography, what they used to believe and what they believe now. It's amazing. Because Jesus is still saying, stop doubting and believe. You have doubts, bring them to me. So that's the last thing that I have to tell you. I mean, Thomas confessed Jesus as Lord and God. Some of these men, and they're women too on the list, they have found Christ through doing their own research. If you have doubts, that's okay. But don't just leave them out there. Do the research. Do something to, I mean, you don't believe that? Try to disprove it. Try to find out that really doesn't even make sense. Try it. They did, and look what happened. They found Jesus, the resurrected Christ. See, the evidence is out there, but you and I had to seek it. Jesus is never going to be anything, just a carpenter, if that's all you believe. Until you seek the evidence, until you search it, and then you're going to find the risen Christ like these men have. That is the confession of a skeptic. And now they doing all their thing in their power to defend the Christian faith. It's the very faith that they were attacking, now they're investing their effort, their power to defend it. Why? Because they also met Jesus. You see, my brothers and sisters, you and I will never be the same when you encounter the risen Christ. When we have an encounter with Jesus, your life will never be the same. I think that's why a lot of times people don't even want to bother with Jesus, because they know you will never be the same. Because he has the power. When he comes in somebody's life, he will change you from the inside out if you let him. And I think people are still, Jesus Christ is still intimidating people today. So sometimes you talk to people about God, and that's okay. You bring Jesus into the equation, now people get offended. Because he's still intimidating people, even in the 21st century. Because his name is the most powerful name. In the name of Jesus, there's power, and salvation is only found in him. And he's telling people, you want to know who I am? I mean, look at life. I changed lives. There's people. I have an uncle that was all, he's all over. He got scars all over the place. Because he was always in trouble with the police. Until he met Jesus one day. And changed him from criminal to preacher. Tell me that just happened. Tell me that just accident. Oh, no. You know what? That's Jesus Christ. Your life will never be the same. And you give your life to him, man. You open your heart to him. He will transform you from the inside out. Because that's what he does. And then pretty soon you'll be saying like Thomas, you are my Lord and my God. Man, if it's not the Lord and your God right now, what are you waiting for? He's waiting for you to give your life to him. Why are you still struggling with whatever it is you're going through in this life, trying to handle that problem all by yourself? When you know eventually you and I are going to run out of resources. This God we serve, he never runs out of resources. And I want to handle my life. I want to handle any problem that I have through him because he knows best. And through him, I will be able to overcome anything in this life. That's what Jesus Christ can do for all of us. Is he the Lord and the God? Because if he's not, I really want to talk to you today. Don't wait another second of your life. Give your life to the Lord. Make him the Lord and God. And then, you know, I cannot say that things will get better for you. But with him, you'll be handling. You will be able to handle him better. And then when he comes to get you home, you're set for life. This is the best insurance somebody can have. My dad used to tell me that I was raised in the church. And he said the best background that I can give my kids is a relationship with the Savior, with Jesus Christ. Because that's what's really going to get them home. And so he said that's what he did. And now I got two kids and I'm going to build a foundation for them. See, church people, parents, sometimes you don't attend church a lot. But you forget about praying with the kids. Build that foundation earlier. There's a lot of things in this world that are just waiting to give the foundation of a foundation for your kids. I'm praying, like Peter said, that the foundation that we need is Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. We sang the song, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. I mean, I was just singing that because it sounds good. Seriously, I mean, we sing that, or do we really say, like, with Christ, when I'm weak, I'm really strong? I say amen to that. Because, you know, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. What better song could we sing today? For us, because we all going to have doubts and insecurities, but with Christ Jesus, man, those things will fade away. Wherever you are this morning, don't go home without talking to somebody about Jesus Christ and how he can transform your life when you let him.